dock. The clock has started. Roger.
This is Morning Show. Here are your hosts, Kyle and Kenny.
Good morning, Kenny. Oh, hi, Kyle.
Hi, how are you today on Tuesday, February 27th, 2018?
Okay, I was waiting for you to
hit the correct date. It's the last episode here in February, and I'm so excited to get the heck out.
You don't want to say February
anymore. No, I'd rather not. The running joke, the literal close to 4-year-old joke here, is just stale. Almost as stale as the muffins I have in my refrigerator. Hey, remember last time when we covered National Muffin Day? I made muffins.
Yeah.
Banana.
Oh, you made muffins?
Banana bread muffins, right? Banana bread? Yeah, banana bread muffins. The day after Muffin Day was Banana Bread Day. So I made banana bread muffins. I combined the days. Unfortunately, the combination of today's day and the following day would probably result in your immediate death. But, this was okay.
Why is that?
For me to do. I have no idea. I don't know what tomorrow is, but I thought maybe you could inform me.
Tomorrow is National Kill My Brother Day.
That's right. It is just shove the knife directly into the fruit.
Oh, that's very sad and awful.
It is actually very sad. But here at the Good Stuff Morning Show, streaming live on Twitch, goodstuff.fm/live, we're all about positivity and happy feelings in the morning. Welcome into the Good Stuff Morning Show. I'm Kyle, this is Kenny, and we're going to show you a good time.
I don't know what character was
bing,
that,
bing,
but...
Bing, 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 bing. Wow, wow, wow.
Are you okay, Kyle?
I'm trying to embody our morning zoo vibe just a little more closely than I have been in the past. Really though, how are you? You haven't really told me yet, and I'm just stalling.
Oh, you've just been vamping until I mustered the strength to tell you that. Oh my gosh. I'm all right. I had a rough, I don't want to say rough night, but a rough morning. I ate stuff.
This isn't in the notes. I see the words ugly delicious, but I'm hoping that's not what you're going to tell me about.
No, I just ate for the first time in like 10 years.
Some cup noodles. In 10 years you ate what?
Cup noodles.
Oh, what flavor? Important detail. What flavor?
Chicken.
Okay. Thank you for listening to the Good Stuff Morning Show. The only cup noodle flavor that is important is the crunchy shrimp. And if you don't remove that shrimp and eat it before the water gets to it, who even are you?
No, I open the cup noodle and I pour out all those freeze-dried vegetables because who needs those? And then I
just right there into your liquidating maw. You can saturate those veggies in your mouth.
I haven't had it in like 10 years. Yeah. My body is not it is not built for that food type anymore. So there you can make your own
stable
conclusion.
Your insides have moved on to non-shelf stable foods. It's
that's right.
You know, freshies. Fresh veggies. You're on a raw diet now, and I've been trying to avoid this topic for a long time, and you've decided to take the plunge and you're not cooking your food anymore, which when it comes to cup noodles, Kenny, I've been telling you, you can crunch them just ever so slightly.
Just
in
just stuff my fist into the foam
into
cup.
Into the cup.
Pull out the block of dry
noodles.
Could
you make a house with that?
With what?
They're like bricks. I guess the other noodles would be better, like actual top branded top ramen would make better bricks than the cup noodle.
Yes, because they're rectangles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why isn't the bowl? Why does the bowl?
The house that ramen built.
The house that. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. All right. Go ahead. And so you're not feeling too great in your tum tum.
No, but related to food and something that is actually. Awesome to watch, but very informative and makes me want to eat a lot of good food is this new thing that is on Netflix called Ugly Delicious. I've watched the first, I think, two episodes.
As have I.
I think it's just a short. Yeah. Oh, you have.
Okay, well, cool. I'm glad that we talked before the show about me hitting my bandwidth cap here at my home. And well, of course, I've seen literally every Netflix show. Ever.
Yeah. Well, so this is like a food documentary kind of show.
Kinda, yeah.
With David Chang, Peter Meehan. It's not for kids. There's cussing in it. So maybe don't have it on in the background when you have children over. Or Netflix recommends, or it says this show is, and then it says offbeat.
I mean, maybe. So I really liked episode two, the taco episode. Yes, pizza was fine. But if you've watched the pizza show on, what's the network? It's on YouTube. Just search for pizza show. Uh-huh. They've got two seasons.
Yes.
Basically, if you've seen the pizza show, you've seen episode one of Ugly Delicious. Episode two, though.
But it's well done. It's well made.
Yeah. Okay. Episode two, though, covers tacos, and they kind of, you know, tour the birthplace of the modern American taco, which would be
right.
Basically Los Angeles and a couple other places.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because they went to a food truck and it looked very similar to the food truck that you took me to uh-huh. when I went down mm-hmm. there that one mm-hmm. time. And I thought, oh, is that the same taco truck?
Not East Coast. But it wasn't. No.
Was it?
No, it wasn't. No.
Oh, okay.
So, but they did actually.
You can say any name.
So, excuse me, the driver in that episode does write for OC Register, either OC Weekly or OC Register, one of the two. Uh-huh. And his Orange County food place articles are great. So highly recommended. I think the personalities in that episode are very good. Mm-hmm. But. Anyway, I've only seen two, just like you. Look at us. Synergistic brothers.
Or just brothers.
Or just we came out of the same womb.
Now, something that I've seen more than two of are the Oscar-nominated movies this year. My goal was to see all nine, but I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to see, I believe, by the end of this, I'm going to see seven of them.
So seven of nine.
Seven of the nine. So this past weekend, I purchased the Regal Oscar movie pass film festival thing that I guess Amazon is sponsoring at Regal Theaters. You pay $35, you get access to watch all of the Oscar nominated films. They're like set times starting last Friday, I think.
Rescreenings, basically. So you get...
Yeah, rescreening.
Okay. And it is... the ticket is paid for, or is it discounted? What's the thing?
Yeah, I paid $35 for the pass, and then I just get to select whatever movies as long as there are seats available.
Wow. Okay.
And I can see them multiple times.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah,
I can just pick whatever I want.
So what have you seen so far?
So on Friday, I saw The Shape of Water.
Okay.
On Saturday, I saw two movies. I saw Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Okay. And then I also saw Lady Bird that night. And then yesterday, I saw... what was yesterday? Phantom Thread.
I haven't heard anything about that, but the three previous ones you've mentioned, I have heard great things about. I'm thoroughly looking forward to that. were there any cartoons? Were there any cartoons?
Yeah, Sylvester the Cat was in Phantom Thread.
Yeah, sorry, I'm stuck back here in like 1952. I need to catch up with my movies.
No. So,
also computers. What?
I saw Get Out.
Uh huh.
A month and a half ago, maybe month ago.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
Okay, so at this right now at this juncture, I've seen 5 out of the 9 films. Okay. Here's my rating system. I would put 3 Billboards at the top. Not number 3, but number 1.
Right, that's numbers 1 through 3. Now, what's number 4?
So 3 Billboards is the top. Right under that is Lady Bird. That was a really good film. It's actually kind of local for us-ish.
When you say local, like, you're not going George Lucas local. George Loco.
No. So Lady Bird's number 2.
I'm doing some free association here. George Lucas, George Loco, Four Loco, George Locos. Four
George Lopez.
George Lopez's Four Loco George Lucas. It doesn't rhyme, but do they still sell Four Loco? Anyway, speaking of Modesto, go ahead.
Anyway, So right after Lady Bird, Get Out. It's really close, like between Lady Bird and Get Out. I like those very, very much. Under that, I would put Shape of Water, and then under that, I would put Phantom Thread. So currently, Phantom Thread, it's the bottom. It really didn't appeal to me. The acting was really good, but the script and the story were really not so great.
What kind of movie is it?
Now, I went into it. I've seen like one promotional thing for mm-hmm. it, maybe on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any trailers for it. I didn't even know what kind of movie it was. So right before the movie, I looked it up and it's labeled, when I searched it on Google, it's labeled drama/crime. I thought, oh, that sounds really cool. Turns out it's not that. It's not crime at all.
Not a crime drama.
No, it's kind of like a romance drama. It's weird. It's not. It doesn't really fall into a specific genre. It's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. He did There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, so which was a musical.
They're teaming up again,
so far as I remember. So
the music was Oil, and he had a mustache.
Eat your milkshake. I eat it up.
Now I drink your milkshake.
Well, you kind of eat it too. I mean,
I drink your milkshake.
I drink it up.
And he slams him in the head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler. So in Phantom Thread, it had the same kind of feel of There Will Be Blood. Mm-hmm. It just didn't hit the marks of like the grandiose kind of.
Not enough blood.
It was a lot. I don't know. It was weird. The sound design. Now, I will say this: the sound design of Phantom Thread is really important. It's kind of integral to the entire film.
Okay.
And I was really glad that I saw that in a theater where they had a good sound system. If I had seen that at home, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to appreciate the sound as much because there's so much other. You know, there's a lot more sounds that are happening around me that would distract me, and I'm not isolated into the film.
It seems to be kind of
seeing it in theaters has been good.
Seems to be a little hit or miss though for you at that particular theater, right? I mean, you've been there once, and it's been
Black Panther was not Black Panther. I had a problem with the sound. That was at a different theater.
Oh,
entirely.
Oh,
and way back when I saw Doctor Strange,
yeah,
and I had the speaker problem.
Oh my gosh,
that was that same bad theater.
We've been doing this show for way too long.
Yeah,
I watched some shows this weekend too. Like I said, I blasted through my bandwidth cap.
Well, hold on, our listeners didn't get that bit.
No,
that we were talking about pre-show.
Yeah,
but So you've blasted through. What's your limit again?
A terabyte.
A terabyte. Mm-hmm. And you've streamed. Kyle, this is February. This is the shortest month of the year, and you've blasted through your terabyte already.
Yeah, I mean, so I watched seven.
How much of the Olympics did you watch?
Zero.
And how much did you stream? That's a good test there. How much did you have running in the background, and how much did you pay attention to? And how much?
A little bit curling, maybe. Okay.
Come on,
hockey. You know the hockey. Yeah, hockey and curling. That's pretty much it. Anything on ice. Well, I guess that's all of it. But you know what I mean. I didn't really watch many of the Olympics this time around. I did, mm-hmm. though. However, on Netflix. Speaking of recommendations, 7 Seconds.
Okay.
Very good. Crime drama.
Seven Seconds.
Yeah, 7 Seconds. It's the shortest run of any Netflix show ever. It only lasts. No, but really though, I think it's like 10 episodes. Each of them are at least an hour? Question mark.
Okay.
It's real good. Is this highly recommended?
Is this true crime or is
it
this?
It is not. Like, I don't think it's true crime, but it's got a. It deals with like crime and the justice system and how just completely messed up it is and biased and it's great. It's a good series.
This is fiction?
It is fiction so far as I know, but it is
okay.
It is so, like, documentary. No, but it is so true to life that it's rough, I think. Yeah,
okay.
Pretty rough. There's some parts of it that were a little strange. I started also watching the Frankenstein series. That's also on Netflix original of some sort. It's got Sean Bean as not Frankenstein.
He's dead.
But
he's dead.
But I
doesn't matter. He's
like
dead.
Like in real life.
No. Like at some point in the first, maybe not in the first, but at some point, maybe halfway through the series, he'll be dead.
Did you just spoil the show for me?
No, because that is what happens to him in every other project he's involved in.
Well,
I don't name a project that he has lasted the entire thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead. So far, Frankenstein.
Name something he hasn't died inside.
So far. I mean, my own perception of this is that he's just fine right now.
Don't read the synopsis on the last episode because it'll be like, where is he?
The weird part is that in between, like, finding these sort of patchwork bodies, they keep calling him 006. And I thought that he had taken the helicopter and met Boris and Natasha already.
Right, and then he went to the cradle, and then it fell on top
of him. Yeah, I'm just so confused for some reason. Netflix, what are you doing to me? But that's my life.
Okay. Well, the 7 Seconds series, go ahead and throw that link into the show notes
so we
can share it with our listeners.
I will, and I will also, Kenny, move us on to today's headlines. Bloop.
These are today's headlines.
Yes, they are. What's going on?
Kyle, Coca-Cola is launching 2 new flavors.
Ooh.
With a vintage flair inspired by sodas that were hand-mixed and poured at the neighborhood drugstore during the bygone era, Coca-Cola Georgia Peach and Coca-Cola California Raspberry will be popping up in restaurants, bars, and grocery stores this week. The choice to use raspberry and peach, the brand's first new added flavorings since Vanilla Coke debuted in 2002, which was our favorite for a while until I found out that it makes my insides turn to lava. That was decided after the company explored over 30 different flavors with nearly 9,500 consumers. So this is like 10,000 consumer tested flavor picking here by Coca-Cola.
Yeah, they just kept putting fruits inside of the Coca-Cola and said, how do you think this tastes?
Like, it's yeah. durian. Why would you do this?
Coca-Cola Raspberry was sold in New Zealand on a trial basis in 2005 and had been discontinued by the end of that year. But in the summer of 2017, the drink was brought back in New Zealand for a limited release and then reintroduced as a summer flavor in Australia.
So I don't necessarily know if they're testing these flavors in those places first. But
it would be kind of weird if they tested Georgia peach and California raspberry in other countries.
Yeah.
I don't think that would really kind of land. So I think maybe just a general like flavor test mm-hmm. happens in these other countries. Mm-hmm. I want to go to New Zealand now. I'm curious what other food tests they have, not just Coca-Cola, but you know,
so far as I remember, they did have the pizza cone first. They may have had the ham dog first as well. but that's kind of, those are the only two boxes I can check with food testing in those countries.
I've got a food test for you. I've got a first right here that you can get right now in America. It's Olive Garden's Meatball Pizza Bowl.
Ooh.
That's
Hold on. Meatball. Say it slower.
Meatball Pizza Bowl.
Olive Garden, home of the fast, casual Italian comforts such as fried pasta nachos, Italiano burgers, and others we've already covered on this show, is back with another hybrid offering from its lunch menu, the Meatball Pizza Bowl. They've combined the two most popular dishes in the Italian culinary world, pizza and pasta, and it's a single item now.
Am I the only one who wants to say Meatball Pizza Ball? Which sounds like a much more inventive dish.
No, they should call it the pizza meat bowl. Right?
Pizza meat bowl.
There you go. You've got the synergy working right there. So it's basically a flaky baked pizza crust filled with cheese, meat, and sauce, available at all Olive Garden locations for the matinee price of $8.99. By the way, I should have mentioned, this is a lunch duo menu item. So I think this is lunch only at this point.
Hold on. Lunch duo. So you get two of these?
You get
this and something.
You can share. Yeah, two for 20 kind of thing. An Olive Garden spokesperson confirmed that this thing comes topped with 10 meatballs and weighs in at over 1 pound.
It's a lot of sauce. It's mostly liquid though. Yeah. The shape of pasta sauce is in a bowl. It's got 10 mm-hmm. meatballs on top, and then a fish comes out of the bowl and says, "What have you done?" This looks really...
It's my house.
Don't eat my house. Oh, no. No, please. Cover it back with meatballs. All 10 of them. You can have one, but leave me at least 9 meatballs for
you're
my
doing a
house.
Mix between Alpha 5 from... You're doing Alpha 5 from Power Rangers and Johnny
meatballs.
5 from Short Circuit. Kyle, if you're really into this pizza news, I've got some more pizza news for you.
Ooh, tell me.
Enormous world record pizza now on the menu at Michigan restaurant. Germany restaurant.
No, I think that joke is gone. You know what?
Have we put it's the end of the German kibosh on
it? It's the end of Froderblöder. So let's stop doing the jokes about old show things and make a whole new,
set of inside jokes.
Yeah, a whole brand new tapestry of jokes that this show can draw upon in the future. We don't even know what they will be. But here, in this moment, forever, we will leave the jokes of the past in the past and become one with... They'll be more like a diet of raw jokes. It'll be the tiniest bit crunchy. Also, if you eat them and actually ingest these jokes, they will make you sick. But we'll try and cook them up in the meantime and feed you just lots of jokes in your hole.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you about this pizza
now. Tell me, please. Get me out of here. Someone save me.
You can now actually order the world's largest delivery pizza off the menu at a Michigan restaurant. Mally's Sports Grill in Southgate near Detroit has just delivered its first record pizza on Wednesday evening, February 14th, 2018. Kyle, Valentine's Day. Do you love pizza?
I do. I don't know if I love it Happy Valentine's to me.
Kyle, how big is it?
Well,
what's the cost? How did they bake this enormous pie? I'll tell
Stop
you.
Stop asking questions. I'll tell you, Kenny. I will tell you. 50 pounds of dough goes into this world record pizza.
50 pounds of dough? Mm-hmm.
It's like a...
How do they deliver this? On a tow truck?
No, they could, I guess they could strap it to a drone. That would probably be the most efficient way. But so far as I have seen,
just like drop it on somebody.
They've got a box specifically made for these. And then they have this container that is like on the top of a car that you slide the pizza into. I don't think you have to use a forklift, but maybe. I feel like there may be some sort of small powered gas vehicle to get the pizza actually into the delivery van for this.
Okay, tell me more about the what makes up this pizza, because all we got was 50 pounds of dough. That's all we
got
from this.
That's all it is. Unfortunately, they consider it... You watched Ugly...
It's a toddler worth of dough.
You watched Ugly Delicious. There's a fine line between what is a pizza and what is not a pizza. 50 pounds of dough absolutely is a pizza. It does take five people 20 minutes to stretch out this 50 pounds of dough and roll it into a 6-foot by 6-foot square.
Oh, it's a square.
It's a square pizza. Yeah, Detroit. Detroit style pizza. Of course, it's going to be
true.
A square.
I heard near Detroit. I didn't know if it was Detroit pizza or not.
Well, the thing is, when you go into Detroit, everything's a square. Even though the car was invented there, the wheels that they were...
square wheels.
Yeah, exactly. They just could not get over the idea that the wheels could be maybe wheel-shaped. They kept using pizzas, actual pizzas. Anyway, it takes 15 minutes in the oven. Then once you've rolled that out...
And what is this oven that they're using? Because from the picture... It looks like a storage container filled with fire.
Yeah, so the pizza place is actually an old crematorium. So what they've done...
Oh, no!
Actually, that's a joke. That's a fresh one. Keep that one, put it in the oven, fire it for 15 minutes to prevent it from getting soggy. And we'll keep that one in our joke backpack for the future.
Okay. All right. So there's more. There's Detroit, more though. There's
Detroit
there's,
pizza
there's toppings, right?
Is a crematorium. Got it. That's a really good one, I think. Good one to save. Yeah. So you for the toppings, 35 pounds of sauce, 15 pounds of cheese, woo! And exactly 829 pepperoni.
Why exactly? I see in the picture. There's one on a glove over here.
Yeah, that's also a joke. Like, I'm trying new jokes here. So there, it's
not gonna work.
Okay, it's not exactly a number. They just put a lot of peps. That's all.
All right, cool. So how much will this cost me to have this delivered?
This is gonna
because it's a delivery pizza.
That's right. This is gonna cost you the large sum of $300. However, they've got free delivery for you. So they'll bring you that 72-inch pizza, at least within a 5-mile radius of where this place is, to you for free.
Okay. All right. So what if I'm not within 5 miles? They start charging?
More than likely.
What if I'm 2,000 miles away?
If we wanted to order one of these, we would probably have to place our order far ahead of time. We would then need to call them. How many would we need to order to make it worth it?
How many 6-foot pizzas do we need to order? Is that what you just said?
Is more than one not a good idea? Because you said
I'll take 4 Godzilla pizzas, please. What do they call this? Actually, I just made that up.
I don't know if it has a name. There was a pizza place near me way back when that did have the Godzilla and the Godzuki. You could get, anyway, you could get all both right. of them. It was a good pizza place, but $300, the previous world record. You said this was a world record pizza, was 54 inches. So,
woo!
6 foot pizza sounds so good.
Yeah, it does. I'm totally into this.
Speaking of, speaking of 6 foot pizzas.
Nope.
ML, the MLB, Kenny, they've got a VR game coming to you soon. Coming to a living room near you, because we both have PSVR. I want to try this. But here's how this goes. MLB Advanced Media, which is the company that makes like video games for Major League Baseball properties.
Baseball.
Yeah. And I believe mm-hmm. they also handle the development of the At-Bat app. But they are releasing a game called RBI Baseball 18. And kind mm-hmm. of as a small component of that, they are making a Home Run Derby VR game.
Okay.
It'll be available on PSVR and HTC Vive. The whole reason that this is coming out is because it was so successful at the All-Star Game back in 2017, way, way, way back when, in Miami.
Oh, as like an experience?
It was like a batting cage, and they gave you a bat, and then they put a like Oculus headset on you.
A sweaty headset on you.
Some sort of HTC Vive headset, I believe, that had a little tracker in an actual weighted bat, and you could swing away in the batting cages.
Okay.
You know, swing for the fences. It's a home run derby.
Does that mean that do I have to like strap my Move controller to a steel bat inside my living room? Is that how I have to do this?
Probably not. Probably not.
Or is it more like the Wii?
Probably more like the Wii. Yes, you can buy.
I'm going to fling my controller right into the television set, and I'm going to see it because it's going to be on my face.
That's right. You can buy a $99 accessory that works with the Vive Lighthouse sensors, they say, that will follow the bat's movement through your living room as you smash directly into the television and hit anybody who's watching you. This just sounds like a dangerous prospect to have an actual bat in your living room. With a headset on and not actually seeing
right.
Right. But on PSVR, which is what you have and what I have. Yeah. You have the little Move wand and I guess you could just kind of flick your wrist a little bit and hit a home run. At least according to this article over on polygon.com, I'm excited.
No, but if it's different because it's VR. So your hands are going to want to move the correct swing of the bat way, and you're probably gonna be able to adjust pretty quickly.
Well,
you're not gonna be able to just kind of like tap like a bun.
Yes and no.
Except I want to be the first player in the Home Run Derby to bunt, like take a bunt.
So you're gonna take all that effort and time that it took to get to Major League Baseball, first of all, second, to do so well that they consider you for the Home Run Derby competition, and you squander it by saying, "Nah,
squander." It's a momentous.
you'll be a history making baseball playing individual.
That's right. I won't take these gnarly cuts. I'm like, I'm swinging for the fences. No, I'm gonna bunt it. And then I'm going to hit it, and people are going to, ha, 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 that's so funny. And I'm going to get really mad, and I'm going to charge the mound. I'm going to punch the pitching coach.
I don't like this at all. If you want to live out this fantasy, please just download MLB
just
Home Run
VR.
Derby VR. I don't think you can charge the mound in it, but if you can,
I'll try.
I'll
run right through my living
through
room.
The television. Great. Good. This would be really fun to watch either of us play in person. Probably not so fun to play alone in your living room, but we'll see. I don't know how much this is going to be. I've got everything I need for it except for the game. So we'll see if it comes out here this spring, since baseball is here. And I'm real excited. But we will see. Great. Kenny, I'm going to move us on to a national day. Today's National Day.
Hold on. Before you get there, Kyle, I don't think you need to do your little themey songy thing, because I think a theme song is actually gonna happen soon, don't you think?
Get up, come on, get down with the National Day. It's a food national day.
That's the one. That's right there. Got
hey, print that one. Get that one and print it as an audio record thing. Please, we'll save it.
Press it to vinyl.
Put it on that wax tube you have over there, and we'll save that one onto the soundboard.
Hey, Kyle, do you remember? This was way back. I mean, this was like I don't think it was Napster. I think it was on G4, the gaming channel.
Kazaa.
And it was Kazaa? And we had that video of the guy who had the oldest wax tube like in existence, and he was showing it off, and he was really shaky, and then he cracked it in two, and then he cussed on live television, and it was like, well, that's that. Do you remember that video?
E-bombs world.
I think about that video all the time.
One of those like early internet video sites. Sure. Can I please move us on to the National
Tell
Day?
Tell us about National. Yes.
All right. As Kenny said, get a flavor for this one, because more could be coming in the future. Ooh, Today's National Day is National Strawberry Day.
Woo! Woo!
Yes, Kenny, they are called...
That was mine.
No, thank you. They are called strawberries, but technically, they are not berries.
What?
This is one of the...
I've been lied to!
Except you don't want to be the one to correct people about this, because berries literally in the name. Here's how this works. Technically, they are called receptacles, an enlarged area, of the apex of a stem that bears the organs of a flower. So I'll put this in the show notes, but the idea is that the flower part gets big, and that is what we think of as the strawberry. It's not an actual bear, not like an ovary.
I'm already super over the fact, because no. I'm not bored. I'm not sleepy about this. The fact that it's not a berry and you're saying it's a flower now.
Straw flower didn't do very well in testing in New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah. What does a straw have to do with anything?
I did way too much Disturbed earlier. Let me see if I can get this out of. Get up. Come on. Get down. That sickness is gone. Yeah, I think it's gone. The other types of receptacles, straw receptacle also did not test very well. Other types of receptacles are apples and pears.
Wait, hold on. So this is an apple variant now?
Pretty much.
What's happening?
Yeah, kinda. They're all flower, like flower adjacent fruits.
Ay, ay, ay.
I'll have more on the anatomy of a strawberry very soon, Kenny. But
great.
But as you know, you may not know, you can exceed your daily recommendation of vitamin C by eating just 8 strawberries.
Oh.
So if you have a festering pile of moldy strawberries, dig right in, at least for 8 of them, and you'll be great for the day.
You know, those zombie strawberries you're going to eat.
They always get so gross.
Yeah, leave them out for like half an hour, and then they just become mush.
They're really awful. The thing is, though, like they're not ripening. Off the vine, they're one of those fruits that just stops ripening right when you pick it. All they're doing is just dying a slow strawberry death.
Aren't we all?
Strawberry death forever. According to the Mayo Clinic, Kenny, For adults, the recommended daily value of vitamin C, which strawberries are very high in, is about 65 to 90 milligrams a day, right? Okay, good. The upper limit of that is 2,000 milligrams a day. What do you think is going to...
So 2 grams.
Pretty much. What do you think is going to happen to you if you had too much vitamin C? Everyone just says, you'll pee it out, right? That is not what happens. You save it forever, and you end up
growing, see to it that it happens.
You'll end up growing strawberries in your belly. With all those seeds?
It's like the watermelon myth from Rugrats.
Pretty likely. So here's what'll happen.
Wait, is that Rugrats?
Or Doug.
Oh, what up? Was it Doug? It wasn't Doug.
Or Hey Arnold. It's one of the multitude of Nickelodeon properties from the late 90s. It doesn't matter. I'm going to move us on, though, talking about the upper limit of vitamin C. If you ate what would be the equivalent of around 5.5 pounds of strawberries, you could experience the following: diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, heartburn, abdominal cramps, headache, insomnia, etc.
That's the worst one, etc.
Yes, it is. Yes, you're right.
By the way, I sent you the video.
Okay. Am I supposed to play it? What would you like me to do with this?
Play the most recent one right there.
Great.
I'm gonna make it grow.
Thank you for that. It was Rugrats. Good. Good work.
You're welcome.
Speaking of the inside of strawberries, they're also high in fiber. So if you eat enough, yes, vitamin C is going to make you get the runs and feel pretty bad, but fiber might help you out a little bit. So strawberries might do you a little bit of a favor, Kenny, in the future. Future Kenny.
Okay.
Oh. Now, I said I was going to talk a little bit more about the actual anatomy of a strawberry.
Sure.
I'm going to kind of mess with your preconceptions of strawberries again. The tiny little bumps on the outside of the strawberries aren't actually seeds.
Okay.
I've taken you to galaxy brain now. We're talking about strawberries that don't have seeds on their outsides. They kind of do, but technically the way that this works, Kenny, is that those little tiny seed-looking things are called arcene. I believe that's how you say it. Arcene. A-R-C-H-E-N-E. And there are about 200 of them on each strawberry. And they're a kind of dry fruit that has their own seed inside it. So the actual fruit part of a strawberry is the seed, and then the berry part is a stem. Infinity brain!
All right, Kyle. Good job there, ruining strawberries for all of our listeners, me included.
So when you say
200 dried fruits,
that's right. So when you eat one strawberry, you're eating 200 fruits.
Actually, no, I'm going to use that to my advantage. How many fruits did you have today?
I had 800 fruits.
800,000
fruits. And half of my daily vitamin C.
That's right.
That is absolutely correct. Can you guess which country produces the most strawberries?
Which country?
Yes. So we'll start country, and then we'll go a little deeper from there.
I'd say the U.S.
All right. Very good. What about the states? You've got a 1 out of 50 chance here. Which one produces the most strawberries?
Rhode Island. No, it's I would say California, because we basically do almost everything here anyway.
That's correct. They do grow, however, in all 50 states, which is really cool.
Yeah, Rhode Island.
Yes. That's they've got strawberry fields forever over there. Mostly in California's coastal regions, by the way. It's not just all of California. So okay. There, yeah, go. 90% of the U.S. crop is grown in California, though. So,
oh my gosh, 90%?
Pretty much all of them. Now,
yeah,
Like I said, unlike some other fruits, they don't continue to ripen after they're picked. But there's also sort of a pop culture-y part of this whole Strawberry Day thing that I think has some misunderstanding or misconceptions. Have you heard of the myth, or I guess the fact? Either way, we'll find out here in just a moment, Kenny, that strawberries are a popular artificial flavor added to foods, and it comes from a beaver's butt.
I've never heard that. Actually, now that I think about it, I have heard that.
Do you remember where you heard it?
Why have I heard that?
Yeah.
I feel like the elementary school or something.
You're eating beaver's butt.
No, it's strawberry starburst.
No, it's beaver butt starburst.
You're a beaver butt.
You're a beaver butt.
I had a really deep voice in elementary school.
Well, it's going from the beaver's butt to mine. So that's fine with me.
It's a suppository. It's a suppository fruit.
It is believed that it's Jamie Oliver's fault, which I feel like we can pretty much blame Jamie Oliver for just about everything.
Okay. And then it wasn't, what's it called? Elementary school. What's that thing that I did for 6 years? What was it called? Oh, that's right. Elementary school.
Primary. It would be.
Primary.
It's,
I don't call it primary.
Uni. I think it's uni. So you listeners may have heard that beaver butts are used to make strawberry flavored things. And according to flavor chemist Gary Reinesis from the University of Minnesota.
I have nothing to offer there.
He explains decades ago, scientists did indeed extract compounds from a gland in a beaver's tush called the castor sac. So indeed it did happen. And then they would use the...
I don't like the words there.
And then they would use this potion, he says, to help create strawberry and raspberry flavorings or to enhance vanilla substitutes. So, vanilla substitutes, that's the key. That is where you can expect to see them or used to expect to see them. As of 2004, the food industry said they only used about 300 pounds of this beaver extract. From the castor gland.
Castor sack.
And as of 2011, only five companies polled here in this particular thing by the Vegetarian Resource Group say that they no longer use any beaver extract anymore in their vanilla flavors. So it's pretty much gone the way of the beaver.
The beaver's still here, Kyle. They still have strawberry butts. Strawberry beavers forever.
Strawberry butts forever. Yeah. Well, damn. Kenny, it's time to move on. Can I take a moment to just let you know that if you've been enjoying this show, we would appreciate if you told a friend. I've been noticing that iTunes reviews, they don't really get us anywhere. Twitter, maybe that is the key to our success. Maybe that is where you can tag at Morning Show AM and use the hashtag Team Cold Pizza if you are on Team Cold Pizza. And tell a friend about the show. Share this particular episode if your friends are not aware of beaver butt glands. This podcast is a service, not only for butt news, but also for interesting facts. And we're also your source for games that I make up that, well, this one isn't actually one that I made up. This one is from deadspin.com, and I'm so excited to tell you, Kenny, baseball's back. It started this weekend. Did you happen to catch any of the games?
I'm sorry, I did not catch the baseball games, but I look forward to catching some spring training here the next month. And then season starts what, like last week of March-ish?
Yeah.
Or is it first week of April?
I think it is close to the weekend before April 1st. Scratching my noggin a little bit. Yeah, I think that's right. Okay. But you can use a brand new website called Google to find out when this show is not happening. So in celebration of Major League Baseball coming back and how very much excited I am for it, we're going to play a game. Now, during spring training, I will say, you'll see a lot of folks out on that baseball field, out on that dusty diamond that you've never seen before. There, you'll get rosters with names that are quite literally out of left field. You'll never expect them, Kenny. So, I'm going to play a game with you called MLB Prospect or Not, and I'm going to say the name of a prospect, and you will need to guess if it is a real MLB prospect or not. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Baseball prospect or not, 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 not.
That's right. It's time to play MLB baseball prospect or not. Or not. Do you like that one?
I'm going to make a confession here, Kyle. I haven't heard any of the sounds this entire show. I have been in the dark this whole time.
Hey, can we fix that, you jerk?
I just thought it wasn't going through to me on the call.
Oh,
so.
My gosh.
So I've just been kind of playing dumb.
What? Okay, hold on. Hey.
Time out.
Can you hear that? Yeah, please approach the mound, Kenny. Can you hear this?
Yeah, I hear that now.
Okay, that's all I needed to do. All I needed to do was press one button. You could have just told me.
Well, I didn't want to break up the flow.
Yeah, I know you just did in the most important part of the show. Well, fine. You know what?
Oh, it's so funny.
How about I bring us back into our baseball prospect or not by playing the same thing again?
Sure.
Baseball prospect or not, 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 baseball prospect or not,
All right, how do you feel about that? You like that?
Okay, I like that a lot.
Okay, good. Maybe you'll like this one better.
Baseball prospect or not. 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 Baseball prospect or not.
Can you hear that? Can you hear?
Yeah.
Can you hear that one?
I am actually, so I like those. I did fully expect you to make a MLB prospect or not song out of Take Me Out to the Ballgame.
Is it a baseball prospect or is it not? Is it a baseball prospect or not? Baseball prospects or not is the game, or it's root for the Giants. That's nothing to do with this game, cause it's 1-2. Prospect or not is the name of the game.
Okay. All right, I concede.
It's time for us to play a round of baseball prospect or not. I'm going to read the name of a baseball prospect, and you'll need to guess if it is real or not. Let's play.
Okay.
Boom, 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 boom. Trustin Zapf. Baseball prospect or not.
Trustin? What self-respecting parent named their son Trustin? Let's see. I like trucks and I like Justin. Trustin. I'm going to trust in him because he's my son.
That's right.
Yeah, no, not a prospect.
You are correct. All right. Number two, Travis Swaggerty.
That's such a cool name. It's such a normal first name too. So I'm going to say prospect.
That is correct. Do you know what?
Do you have what team he's on?
I don't. I was going to ask if you knew.
Oh no, I don't know.
Gupper Fontanelli. Baseball. Now, see, Kenny, hold on. Kenny's laughing only because the unexpected nature of these names and how baseball-y they are.
Yeah, I think that this game would also have been you could have gotten away with MLB prospect or 1910 rookie of the year or something like that,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like Gupper, it totally sounds like some early 20th century name.
That's right.
I'm going to say not a prospect though for 2018.
That is correct.
Maybe in 1912, but not in 2018.
Number four, Scampi Taleggio. MLB
Taleggio. I think that's an actual baseball player already. Taleggio. That sounds really familiar. What was the first name?
Scampi.
Oh, I love it. I'm gonna say not a real prospect, but a real person, perhaps.
It's two food things. Taleggio is a cheese. Scampi.
Oh, it is?
Scampi's like the shrimp.
Well, I thought it was like some Italian player.
I'm also probably pronouncing these completely 100% incorrectly. So
it doesn't matter because they're hilarious.
Number five, Nader DeCetus.
Nader, like N-A-D-E-R? Nader?
Sorry, Nander. Nander DeCetus.
Nander. I'm going to say real prospect.
That's correct. You've got five out of five so far. I'm not liking my...
It's probably Nander. It's probably something not Nander. It's probably like Nander or something like
listen,
that.
Listen. It's just... It's how this game is going to go. We've got 22 of these bad boys. These baseball...
22? Okay, let's rapid fire these things then, Kyle.
Griffin Conine.
There was a player named Conine. Man, I'm going to say real.
Okay, 6 for 6.
Hope he's his son.
Cupper Van Loo. Prospect or not.
What was the other one? Gupper? Yeah, I'm going to say not a real prospect. Cupper.
All right, 7. Kumar Rocker.
That's a cool baseball name. I'm going to say real.
He's a closer. Prospect. Has to be a closer, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Tucker Alou.
Rocker. Bam.
Tucker Alou, number 9. Tucker Alou.
Oh, is he a member of the Alou family? I wonder.
Seems like a not good way to do this, Deadspin.com. If there's a real last name in here of someone who is in a baseball family. Number 10.
You're really sending them up there.
I know. Number 10, Seth Beer. What I'm saying is this is not my fault. If this game is bad, it is not my fault. I just make...
Seth Beer. Two one-syllable names?
Sean Bean.
Seth Beer. Sean Bean, Seth Beer. Yeah. I'm going to say real person. Real prospect.
That is correct.
That's awesome.
So the back of his jersey is going to say beer.
Come on, camera. Focus. There we
beer.
Go.
Beer. Just on the back. Focus. Back of his jersey. Beer. It's really good. Number 11.
No, it'll be a beer emoji. It'll be the beer glasses clashing there.
That's a really good idea. We'll have to wait for another round of MLB nickname or not to find out if right. that happens. Number 11, Corn Boyce. First name.
Hey, man, don't mess with the Corn Boyce.
First name is spelled K-O-R-N.
No, that's not real. No.
Okay, good. Thank you. Number 12, SoCo.
We love corn over here, the band, so we're the Corn Boys.
I mean, Number 12.
Fan club.
Soko Barnes.
Real. Real prospect.
Incorrect.
I was really hoping that Soko Barnes, it's such a cool name.
Number 13, Connor Pilkington.
Connor Pilkington.
K-O-N-N-O-R. Connor.
Oh, gosh, no. You know what? Even if it's a real person or not, I don't want that to be a real prospect.
Oh,
so I'm gonna
come
say not.
On.
Gosh. K-O-N-N-O-R.
Yep.
Connor.
Yep.
Ugh, gross.
Number 14, Magnum Flowers.
Not a real prospect.
That is correct.
But someone should change their name to Magnum Flowers.
I like it. I like it a lot. Speaking of prospects, number 15,
yeah.
Steel Walker. I should have done all of these like walk-ups. Number 15, Steel Walker.
Yeah, I actually thought you were going to do that instead of the songs,
Shoot.
But I think you spent your time well on the songs. No, the song, you did three songs, Kyle. That's good.
Number 15, Steel Walker. 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 Walker.
The delay doesn't work like that, Kyle.
It's just
the announcer doing his own delay.
It's a really big baseball stadium.
It's like, I'm going to say not a real prospect. Oh, that's a cool name then. Steel Walker. Left field for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, probably center now that they don't have Andrew McCutchen. Booyah. I got a little Giants in there into the song.
That's not part of the song.
It's my baseball team. Number 16.
Go ahead.
Ecclesia. Oh, man. How can I do this one? Okay.
Send it to me. Send me the name.
Ecclesiastes. Okay. I got to send it.
That's it?
I got to send it to you. No, it's not like share. Where are you? Can you help me with this, please?
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes Shofar. Prospect or not?
No.
Yeah, can we just move past that one? 17. Tristan Casas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a normal name.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a boring name, actually. Sorry anybody named Tristan out there, but that's kind of a boring name.
Number 18. Cooper Grinch. Grinch.
Cooper Grinch? Grinch. No. No, not a real prospect. He hates everybody on the field.
Now batting number 19, Bryce Terang.
Bryce Terang?
Terang.
Bryce.
Terang?
Terang.
Hang. Hang. Hang.
I'm going to say real prospect, Bryce.
Now batting number 20, Dominic Pipkin.
That's too many Dominic Pipkin. No, not a real prospect, pumpkin boy. Oh,
the point of this game is not for you to verbally berate these people for their God-given names.
It is for that. That's the whole reason of all of these games that have names in them.
Now batting.
For me to just hate them.
Number 21, Wes Helms the Third.
Wes Helms? That's a cool name. That's a cool name. I'm gonna say that's real.
Ah, dang it. All right, last one.
I guess the cool names are the fake ones, and the ones that I don't like are the real the real ones.
Hold on, now I need to. Sorry, I'm getting ready for this last one. All right, number 22, Kenny.
Yeah.
Now batting Number 22, Vin Soda.
Not a real prospect.
No, it's pretty quiet. Baseball's pretty loud here. Hold on. Baseball's really loud here. Okay, you got that. You got that one right. Good work.
Okay.
Nice work. This is a baseball stadium sound, free, high quality, free download over on YouTube.com. Sounds and DIY.
Ah.
It's bad. I'm going to close this. Don't need it.
Okay.
I think I replaced you in the stream anyway. So that's it. That's our show. Links for everything that we've talked about and to the list, the SoundCloud.com list of all of the songs that I have put together for this show can be found over goodstuff.fm/morningshow. I'll put a link into the show notes and you can click on it and just reenact your own morning show there in your living room as you swing a bat. Make sure you do both at the same time. You can also you can also check out some of the other great shows over at goodstuff.fm and give us a follow on Twitch. We'll let you know right when we're live. We kind of noodle around for about 10 minutes and then we get started and then the show happens and we record live to tape. And then I send it to you personally, postmarked on a wax cylinder into your mailbox. It melts because it's so hot. And then I tried pottery. Pottery seemed to be really the way, like, had the most staying power. So maybe we'll try pottery for the next episode. Also, remember,
is that spelled like podcast, but pottery?
Pottery. Yeah. We'll put the podcast just directly. The podcast actually is what that's. No, because that's probably a different thing. Either way, there's no shows like that on goodstuff.fm. It's just good stuff over there. We'll be back again next week, probably, because that's how this show works. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Bye-bye.